Do you accept any piece of mail that is sent to you? Like if you received, oh, I don't know, a porcelain doll from a family friend that you haven't talked to in many, many years. Is that a gift you really want to have your kids be playing with? Well, that happened to one of our listeners, and you'll hear the story in a recent EPP bonus episode. More importantly, what happened with the doll that was received in EPP bonus episode number 53 at Real Ghost Stories Online.
I'd become an EPP for this story alone.
Sign up to get it. Click Become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month to get that episode and all of our bonus episodes, and you keep our show on the air. That's what it's all about. Please support us. Keep us going. And enjoy the creepy content. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's Real Ghost Stories Online, too many coincidences leave a family wondering if their lost grandpa is actually still there. A little boy's nightmare quickly becomes a mother's terrifying reality. A listener feels he was visited by a special guest while visiting a very popular tourist destination. And some kids don't like bath time, but in one family, there's a reason for the parents to dread giving the children baths. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
What's new?
I just know that I need to be wearing clothing that I'm prepared to change out of for the day when we give the little one a bath.
Yeah, she splashes.
She splashes, and she has weaponry.
She does not.
She does. She has that that squirt tube
thing. Oh, yeah, water weapons.
But she's pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty good at just aiming at the wall. Everyone sounds like, boom! Yesterday, she was telling me, she's like, look, it's peeing! That's nice, honey. And then she laughs hysterically.
Yeah.
Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can submit your real ghost stories there as well. This is a show that we do all year round. If you're just finding us in October looking for something spooky to listen to, well, welcome to the show. There's lots of goodness out there for you to enjoy, and I hope you enjoy the show very much. From the file of weird shit that I've probably said on the show at some point or in time and then heard today it actually exists.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if I've said this one or not, but goat landscaping.
I think you have said that on the show.
I think I've said, like, hey, it'd be a great idea. Landscape business, you just put goats in someone's yard. It exists. I heard it on NPR today, and I think it's in Pennsylvania, and it's more so for, like, folks who have, like, a ton of land, or like an acre or so, you know, and you don't really want to go out and mow it, or it's maybe, like, a property that you own, and it's overgrown, and it's difficult to get, you know, the big brush mower out there. You hire this company, they put a couple goats on the land with invisible fencing.
Okay.
Around, like dogs.
Sure.
And then the goats stay on the property, and in about a week and a half, your grass is gone.
Oh, wow.
And they say it's obviously it's good for the environment. You're not using gas or anything like that. The goats eat it, and then it comes out, and it actually makes pretty good fertilizer. The sound, I can imagine, would not be too pleasing to the neighbors.
No, and how early do goats start making noise in the morning?
I don't know. I wonder if they're all, like, a little bit different. It kind of depends on their routines and exactly, you know, what they like to do and what they're used to.
Their goat routine.
Some are early risers. Some are, some stay up late and eat a lot. I don't know. But it was just like, oh my God, this actually exists. That's pretty awesome. So, anywho.
That is funny.
There you go. And there'll be more of those, I'm sure. We always get it where I say something and then somebody emails us, oh, hey, that exists, like demon away, like the sage in a bottle to get rid of demons. So anyhow, 855-853-4802, our number. Jay from Ontario writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, still loving your podcast. I can never get enough of spooky ghost stories. You read a few of my stories on the air, and I just wanted to connect some of them for you. I wrote in about a floating deer head I saw Christmas Eve when I was a kid in the hallway on EPP 41. Well, that was actually the same hallway my grandpa took his life in when I was 12. I then got a metal bed frame from them, and that leads to the second story you read about the different colored greenish shadow man I saw peeking in my room. I have another short story that happened in this house around the same time. My little brother was seeing the ghost of a man in his room. I wonder if it was the ghost of my grandpa, because he never actually got to meet my little brother, as he died shortly before my brother was born. I also thought it was interesting that my brother saw the ghost of a man. Then, many years later, when I saw something in the same room, it was just a faint energy outline of a man. Maybe the energy faded over time? Now onto the event that convinced me more than ever of the paranormal, since the other of my stories could have been hallucinations or sleep paralysis or something like that. It was around 10 p.m. I was sitting in the living room with my brother and parents. We were discussing the strange things happening around the house. Toys going off on their own. My dad would come down in the morning to get ready to go to work and hear the TV on loud, go brush his teeth, and then when he'd get in the living room, the TV would be off. Stuff like that. Me being very skeptical was trying to rationalize these things. Toys can go off randomly, and maybe my dad just thought he heard the TV on because he was just waking up and was tired. Mind you, they can do strange things. Well, they all went to bed. I stayed up to watch TV, which was on. I sat down to the lazy boy, and as I did, I said out loud with a scoff, "Ghost, huh? Well, if there are any ghosts, then what are they waiting for, huh? What?" Just then the TV quickly clicked off. On, off, on, off, on. Okay, I thought to myself, I must have just sat on the remote, right? I dug in the chair on either side and then looked over to see the remote on top of one of the speakers. I stood up and said, "Okay, thanks." Grabbed the remote, turned off the TV, and ran upstairs like I was being chased by the Wolfman. Now, how do you explain that? A remote of a neighbor maybe on the same channel as my TV? But to happen at that exact time, right after exactly the moment I pretty much asked for it. Very spooky. I know your listeners have had some more wild things happen to them, but it's different when it happens to you. What is strange is that almost immediately after that happened, my brain was quickly trying to come up with excuses like, it didn't really happen, or it was a daydream, but it was not a dream. It was very real. Take care, Brewskis, and all the Real Ghost Stories online community. You guys are awesome.
You know, I used to do something kind of like what he alluded to. Mm-hmm. I used to do it to my brother because we had the exact same model TVs mm-hmm. that we bought at the exact same time in our rooms, and our rooms were right next door to each other.
Yep.
And he's 4 years younger, and when he was real little, he didn't know if you hit this button on the remote, it switched it over to run the VCR.
Okay.
And so his remote wasn't working at that point. And so mine, I would take it and I'd peek around the corner and I'd change his channel all the time while having his remote set on the VCR settings. So he's like trying to change it back and he can't. And so I kind of thought of that at first, but with the on, off early in the morning, I don't think a neighbor's going to be doing that.
Probably not.
And the chance of their remote running the TV is pretty slim.
And at that exact same mm-hmm. time when you ask for it to do something.
Yeah.
It does it. Pretty creepy. I'm going to go with paranormal on that one.
I think so.
Another fun thing to do with that, and I don't know if it can still be done anymore, because I swear, TV remotes, and it's probably how they work now, or however the FCC has allowed, because there's actually, it's by law how far that signal can go from remote to TV. If you look at your remote, it says FCC and regulations on it and everything.
Oh, okay.
It's not just like, hey, let's see how far this can make it. I'm sure there probably didn't used to be so many regulations on remotes, and it seemed like you could be quite a distance away and still flip the channel. I feel like remotes today are less functional. Like, you really need to be right in the right spot at the right area for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy as it used to be for whatever reason. But what you could used to do in that same way, what you were talking about, hotels.
Oh, okay.
Especially, and not necessarily hotels where there's a wall in between, because I think you do need some sort of infrared signal going on here. But like the old school holodomes,
mm-hmm.
where you walk around the pool area and everybody's got the window.
Yeah.
And when they have their windows open, you could just walk around with the remote and just change people's channel. We did it all the time when I was a kid. Like, I remember vividly. Two of my aunt's weddings were held at places like that. Mm-hmm. And me and my cousins, it was their idea because they were older, and I was just a little one thinking this is an amazing, fun idea, walking around at night, turning people's TVs on and off and changing channels, and people were like, what the hell?
That's great.
It's great fun. It really is. I don't know if you can do it anymore, though, just because, like I said, the way that the TVs work and being in the right position, mm-hmm. I don't know. Be fun to try, though. 855-853-4802. Joey writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I've recently discovered your podcast and have been listening almost religiously for the past 3 months and decided it was time for me to share a story. This happened to my mother many years before I was born. Back then, it was my mother, brother, sister, and father who had moved into a rundown house in Surrey, a city just on the other side of the Fraser River from Vancouver, British Columbia. One night, my brother, who was 4 at the time, was having trouble sleeping. He claimed there was a shadow watching him and he couldn't sleep because he was afraid of it, so my mother crawled into bed with him to calm him down and help him sleep. When my brother had fallen fast asleep, my mother started to hear whispering. As the sound grew louder, a man's voice could be heard chanting, get out of my house. My mother did her best to ignore it at first when the voice then shouted, get out! Holding my brother tightly, she gritted her teeth and held her ground. To the darkness, she growled, this is my house now, you get out. You're dead and cannot hurt us. You have no power over this family or this house, and it is your time to leave. Just then, a face came out of the darkness and rushed her before disappearing. She said that this was the first and last time she'd ever encountered that voice or presence in that house. That was one of many stories that came out of that house. And by the time I was born, my family had already moved. Thank you for your time on the podcast and keep up the good work.
I think that's the last thing as a parent you're thinking about when you go in there is that you're really going to have something say something to you.
Sure.
You know, God, when can I just get this child back to sleep, go back to my bed, finish my sleep? Because I'm sure, you know, that only happens on mornings where you have to get up early. It never happens on a weekend where you can sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that she went in there and then heard that voice. I'm glad that it went away when she told it to get out.
It is interesting that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that would just be the beginning.
Right.
But very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. There's a lot of them in which you can get our show. But when you subscribe, the latest episode goes right to your device. So you are never wondering where is a new show. That's the easiest way to do it. It helps us in those rankings as well. So please do press subscribe. John writes in, love you guys and what you do. Thank you. This is kind of short and sweet. I grew up in Indiana and had an old RCA console record player in my room. And the first record I remember listening to was Elvis. I love listening to Elvis. I've always been a real big fan. And I was devastated when my mother, grandmother, and aunts went to see him in Indianapolis and I could not go. I was 9 at this time and it turned out to be his very last concert. Never forgot that. I remained a great fan of his. In 2001, I believe, I was driving home from Air Force training in Texas and decided to stop in Memphis for the first time. As soon as I walked through the gates of Graceland, I got goosebumps. I was in a group being led by a tour guide, which took us from building to building and room to room. When we got to the jungle room, I felt something. Goosebumps on goosebumps. Looking back, it was like I was in a trance. I was imagining everything that must have taken place in this room. The people, the conversations, and so on. Suddenly, it seemed, I realized that the tour was leaving the room and exiting the house. I was alone in the room. At the same time, I felt the hairs stand up on my arms and neck. A rush of cold came over me. I then felt a tap, or more of a push, on my left shoulder. In that split second, in my mind, I think, oh, another tour guide came in and found me there. I turned around to apologize, but no one was there. My heart sank and my knees almost buckled. I looked around and no one was there. It was a moment before I could snap out of it and move. I did not rejoin the group. I just left and tried to rationalize what had just happened. It couldn't. Was it Elvis? Was it Mama? I don't know. What do you think? I never felt or experienced anything like it again, and I haven't been back yet. Amazing. Thanks for listening.
I think that would be your first thought.
Sure.
Was it him?
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, upon reading this story, I'm not a huge Elvis fan, and I'm sorry to those listeners who are, but I didn't know much about Graceland itself, so mm-hmm. I took a look online, and apparently it is a really old property, but mm-hmm. the house was built like in the late 30s,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it was a farmstead long before, obviously, it was Elvis's, so, mm-hmm. you know, it could have had a history before he even had it, of
sure.
it having ghosts, and I don't know, is it known as a haunted place?
I don't know if it is or not.
Okay.
I had a weird experience there.
Oh, really?
And I'm not even making this up.
Okay.
This is not a, hey, Tony's going to interject something stupid here.
Okay.
I don't necessarily contribute it to being paranormal, but take it for what it is. I toured it once, and it's not a super huge property, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can get out, once you are out by the garden in that area, Elvis is buried there,
mm-hmm.
right on property. And you can take pictures all you want. There's nobody that's saying you can't. I could not get my camera to take a picture at the grave.
Oh, weird.
I sat there, and I think I had a phone. It was a camera phone at the time. It might have been like, I think, the Palm Trio or One, or I don't know what the hell it was. But it was a camera
mm-hmm.
on a phone, and it normally functioned just fine. It wasn't, you know, Polaroid, just normal camera phone.
Sure.
About 5-6 years ago. I don't know, roughly around there. And I couldn't, it would not take. I kept pressing the button on the screen, take the picture, tried pressing, there was a little button on the phone, you could kind of override the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Would not take. It just sat there. And it just, it focused, and then it just would not take. And it was only at the grave. Walked away from the grave, would take. Took everything else just fine. But I could not get a picture at the grave.
I wonder if anybody else was having trouble.
I don't know. It was rather odd.
That is weird.
But that's like one of the only times I've ever, well, I think I had issue once when I was in, when I did that ghost tour to the cemetery in Appleton. I was having issues with my digital camera that night, too. It was a totally different camera.
Mm-hmm.
This was more your big, bulky, old school digital camera. And I was having issues with the battery dying. Which, of course, is, you know, go down that road. But this is just weird. I don't know why it would not take.
Huh.
I have nothing that came up on the other pictures. I have nothing else to say, but that's what happened.
Okay, now I want to hear more Graceland stories.
There might be.
Yeah.
I would imagine there probably is. I mean, there's a lot of energy there. I mean, regardless of it being Elvis or not, there's a lot of super passionate people about Elvis
mm-hmm.
That in itself, I think, would make the property, you know, maybe haunted post his death.
Yeah.
Just with the sheer amount of energy that goes through that place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Natalie writes in, hey, guys, I'm a pretty new listener here. I listen while I eat, try to fall asleep, and my favorite time to listen is when I'm doing special effects makeup. It really sets the mood. I've had many paranormal experiences in my life. My whole family has. But until I was in my late teen years, I was definitely the most sensitive in that way. I've lost a lot of sleep over the years due to strange sounds, figures, and the everlasting feeling that someone or multiple people are in the room with me. I've only had a few visual experiences, while the rest are just a sixth sense, hearing things or feelings, something touch me. The fear was almost always present. I'll tell you about the time when I was most afraid. I was about 13 and my parents had just left to go to dinner. It was just my dog and I in the house. I'd just gotten some new shoes and wanted to see how they looked in the two full mirrors in the basement. The room I was in had a door to the garage and a door to the bathroom, so I'm standing there with my parents, rolled up, looking stupid in the mirror, when I hear a hard, single knock on the door to the garage, and then the doorknob jiggled. I ran into the bathroom to unroll my pants since I looked silly. That door is always locked, and whoever tries to use it needs to be let in. So I went for my mom, dad, or brother to yell to let them in. Then it hit me. Nobody is home. They left 20 minutes ago. If they opened the garage door, you could hear it throughout the entire house. What the F is going on in my garage? That sank in, and I quietly stepped into the middle of the room and stared at the door, waiting for another knock or jiggle. Above that room is the dining room that has linoleum floor and a large table in the middle. I heard clear as day about six hard, heel-to-toe boot footsteps walking slowly across the dining room. I about shit my pants. My dog wasn't making any noise. I make my way to the stairs and yell for my dog that runs to the front window. So I'm just talking to myself going up the stairs. I get to the top and there's nothing. Nobody. A dark hallway which I'm not going to explore. The vertical blinds are moving by the sliding door. The door is closed and locked. Could have been my dog or something, but I just added to it. I hurried and wrote a note to my parents saying I got scared and went to Mandy's house. She was my friend on the next street. So I bolted to her house. All of the trees were bare, so the moon was casting long, creepy branch shadows all over the ground, and the dry leaves scraping against the pavement behind me made it sound like someone was chasing me. So I hauled ass to her house and knocked. Her older sister opened the door, and I asked if I was okay. She said I was so pale and looked like I had seen a ghost. I stayed there until my parents got home. It was probably the most scared I've been due to a paranormal incident. I know what I heard, and I saw the knob of the door jiggle. So creepy. I have many more stories, which I'll submit, all in good time. Love the show. Thanks for reading my story. I hope to hear it on the air.
That was a great little story. Some of the imagery there.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine being home alone and hearing that. And, you know, I can remember as a kid, my brother and I used to play in the basement quite a bit, and it was a finished basement. But my dad forever only wore cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he'd get home, you'd hear those heel-to-toe boot sounds on the linoleum floor coming in. So I could just hear it in my head when I was reading it. It's just so scary.
You knew exactly what that sound sounded like.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Exactly.
And it's one of those stories that also then brings up the logistical question of ghosts. Why are some not allowed to go through doors?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they having to use a door knob? What's going on here?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it makes more questions than it does answers. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Sasha writes in. My name's Sasha. I'm from Sacramento, California. My story starts off in a very nice three-story apartment in West Sacramento. Just had my first child and my husband went overseas. So my sister with her child and myself with mine moved in together. These apartments at the time were brand new and very nice. Two beds, two very large baths. My sister had the master and I had the guest room. So I used the hall bath most of the time. Heads up, I can see ghosts and shadow people out of the corner of my eyes. Always could. My brother and sister see, hear, feel, and can just tell when something's off. Now, whenever we give my sister girl a bath in the hall bathroom, she'd cry like something bad was looking at her, trying to hurt her, always looking in the corner. Now, when I would sit on my knees bathing my son, I could feel this four-legged beast, I say beast because it didn't feel like a dog, run up from the toilet and stop just behind me. And would do this over and over until I got out of the bathroom. Every time it stopped behind me, I felt a wall of hate hit me. It didn't like me using the bathtub. Now in my sister's bathroom, she had a fogged glass door shower. Sometimes I would just like to change it up and use her shower. When you walk in her bathroom, it was a sink, toilet, and glass shower. When you took a shower and looked out of the foggy glass, you can still make out the sink and toilet. Well, looking straight, showering on all I could see from the corner of my eye was a shadow person standing in between the sink and the toilet. When I look at it, it would be gone. But as soon as I looked away, looking straight again, it would be there. I would say, go away, but it didn't. It would stand there looking maybe 5'5". Then out of nowhere, run up next to the glass and stop. As it would stop, a wall of hate would hit me, and this shadow person was now 6 feet. I would turn and look, but nothing was there. I turned my head straight again to the tiles and see it looking 5'5", in between the sink and the toilet again. Then again, like clockwork, run up next to the glass, maybe a foot or so, away from me, pushing that wall of hate at me. Seeing the shadow person from the corner of my eye looking 6 foot again, I could feel it was male and it hated me and stayed there just looking at me with hate. until I would look at it and it was gone. It would just start back in its spot. Never hurt us, just hated us there. I lived there for just over a year, just until my husband came home. Loved the show, got my husband loving it too. Happy hauntings.
So it was actually growing as it got closer to her?
I guess so. I mean, at first I was thinking like perspective, you know, it's like, oh, it looks 5'5" over there. And then it gets a little bit closer and it gets bigger. I'm not quite sure. But I, you know, if it's a shadow person, it probably has that ability.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And in the least appreciative setting, it could be making its appearance known.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to have a shadow person, but when you're sitting there in the shower, that's about as bad as it can get to have to experience out there. So thank you for your story. We really do appreciate that. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802. If you're a new listener to the show, the way we keep this thing on the air is with our EPPs, Extra Podcast People. That's what that stands for. They submit $5 a month. They get access to all of our bonus episodes of the show, 50 some of them available for you to download on our exclusive EPP website. Some of the best stories we've ever had. Also, exclusive video content as well. So if you like the show, you want to keep it on the air, consider contributing only $5 a month. That's what keeps this thing going year round. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Tiki calling from Newcastle, Delaware again. I'm back to tell you that I am now an EPP subscriber, me and my son, Walter. So we have so many stories to tell you about things that have happened to us. But first, I want to tell you about one in particular story that happened when I was about 23. We've always been into, like, supernatural and ghosts and spirits just because of things that have happened to us within ourselves. But we decided, me and my son and a couple family members, were going to get a Ouija board and see if we could contact any spirits. So we went to Toys R Us. It was about maybe 8 of us, and we all went to Toys R Us. I bought the Ouija board, and we came home on the city bus. And I had just went to pick up my check that day, so I was going to the store to cash my check. So we get off the bus, and they're waiting, like, near the house. It's like a, I think it was like a KFC that was right by the house. So they were waiting by the house, but I just had to walk like a couple blocks to the store. So as I was walking to the store, I get to the store and I realize that I don't have my check. So I'm like, oh my God, I lost my check. So I try to like re-step and I'm going back and I'm looking on the ground as I'm walking back, and about a block up, I see my check and it's like in the gutter. And I'm like, well, how in the world did it get out of my hand when I was holding that check in my hand? So I'm like, I'm brushing it off. I'm like, okay. So I keep going, keep going. Get to the store, and now I realize I don't have my ID. So I'm like, what in the world is going on? By this time, I'm just getting agitated. So I'm walking all the way back up the block, and I'm almost to where they're standing, and I look, and there's my ID. I'm like, oh, gosh, not really paying no attention. So I get into the store. I cash my check. We go home, and we start right away. And it's children there at the time, so it's not really quiet, and it's not really the way it's supposed to be. So we kind of chopped it up to it not working. We tried it for a little bit. It's too many laughs, too many jokes. So we was really like, okay, this is not working. So then we were thinking, okay, we don't want to keep the Ouija board in our house, so why do we get it? I don't care. It didn't work anyway, so let's just throw it away. So I don't know what made us just want to throw a brand new Ouija board away. I don't know. But that's what we chopped it up to doing, and I was like, I'm not going to put it in our garbage can. I was like, let's put it in a neighbor's. So I took it out, and I put it in a neighbor's trash can that was, like, directly across, like, the grass from us. So in the morning, I go to look, and it's gone. So I'm thinking, all right, whew, we're done with that. So about 2 weeks later, I go to get my check again. And I just happened to go into the Toys R Us again since I was there, because my job in Toys R Us was right in the same parking lot. So I went into Toys R Us, and I just happened to walk by the Ouija boards. Now, mind you, I'm looking at these Ouija boards, and I'm looking at this one Ouija board. It doesn't have no wrapper on it. And I'm just sitting there like, who would just put where's the plastic? So I take it out and I open it. And it's the very same Ouija board that we were playing with. Mind you, I knew this because when I thought I was going to keep it, I had like took a little knife and I put my initials into the planchet. So it was like TW. And I put the little green stickers on the foot, on the planchet of it to make it slide, I guess. That's what that was for. But needless to say, my initials was on that Ouija board. I was so scared. I shut it and I put it back right where I got it. I went home and I told my brother-in-law. And when I told my brother-in-law this story, he was like, nah, that didn't happen. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I said, I'm going to show you this Ouija board. I'm going to show you. So about 2 weeks later, we went back to the same Toys R Us because I was picking my check up then, and he went with me. So we went into Toys R Us, and lo and behold, that same Ouija board was sitting there. He took it out, and he opened it. And I said, now flip that planchet over. And he flipped it over, and he seen that the initials was in there, and he just threw the box on the ground. Needless to say, he was like, let's go. I don't even want to see this no more. I told y'all not to mess with this. You're dabbling in the devil. And he was just shook. He was so scared. We got out of there, and that was like the first of many times that I played with a Ouija board and had experiences, but that was more far the creepiest. So if anybody has any more stories to tell about the Ouija board, I'd love to hear it. Or if anybody can tell me about that one, tell me what that could have possibly have been, it would be appreciated. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you play this one and many of ours to come. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story here as Ouija Awareness Month gets underway on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Uh-huh.
Could the neighbor have taken their trash can and opened it or brought it back into the house or wherever they keep it and mm-hmm. saw there's a brand new Ouija board in here?
I'm going to return it.
I don't want it, but I could go exchange it for some other crap for my kids. And do you think maybe that might have transpired?
I suppose that could be done.
Yeah.
Logistically.
You make up some story. Oh, I got it as a gift. I already have one. Let me
lost the receipt.
It.
Store credit.
Yeah.
They'll take it back.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, it showed back up. No, I mean, it could have been the neighbor. It could have been anybody. It could have been just a person that's searching trash cans. People do that.
Could have been, yeah.
And people do that all the time. You know, just it kind of depends where you're at and what's going on. So it's rather creepy that it was then that Toys R Us, the very same one, that it shows back up at. But it's creepy.
And the story's only creepy because it's a Ouija board. The only other toy it could have been that would have been creepy would have been a doll, a porcelain doll.
It keeps showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we've had Ouija board stories where people have destroyed it.
Yeah.
Like literally destroyed it, not just dumped it in the trash, burned it, shredded it, you know, you name it.
And it comes
back in the toy room
mm-hmm.
in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Not just showing up at Toys R Us again, but it's like back above the mantle. So it's not the first time I've heard of a Ouija board coming back from the dead.
No.
If you will. So, I don't know. Interesting, interesting story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, my name is James. I'm going to tell you actually a very interesting story, and I'm glad I found this iPod. I was listening to it today and hearing all these stories, so I wanted to share my story. Unfortunately, a lot of people in my circle do not tend to believe this. In the late 1990s, I was living with my mother in a small one-bedroom apartment. This apartment building, it was very compact. And they only had one bedroom apartment, which my mother slept in, and I slept in the living room. On this one particular night, I was watching wrestling. I was a big fan of wrestling back there. And in the doorway, a couple of feet away from the TV, on the same wall, I'm watching the television. I feel like I'm being watched. When I looked over at the side, I noticed a black figure standing at the doorway, staring at me. Now, the black figure that was staring at me, he was without any kind of features whatsoever. It was like someone standing with a black leotard or something, except I couldn't tell the leotard. It was all black, a black hole standing there in the shape of a man. The only feature that I could tell were his eyes. His eyes were larger than usual, and they were very angry looking. And I remember he was staring at me with such hatred and it was overwhelming me. And I remember I locked eyes with this thing for about 5 seconds. After 5 seconds, she darts behind the wall where we had a small hallway that led to a closet and a bathroom. At the time, I used to work public safety. So that response came out of me, and I darted after it. I went down the small hallway, and the only two doors in that hallway was to the walk-in closet and a bathroom. I checked both of them out thoroughly until I realized no one's here. I kind of freaked out, but for whatever reason, I've always seen ghosts since I was a child. This was different, but I didn't react the way I thought I was going to react, with fear. It hit me moments afterwards where I went back to watching wrestling that I just saw something. I didn't see it as a ghost. I saw it more as a demon. A couple of nights later, I sleep on the sofa. I had all the lights out in the bedroom, in the apartment, and I used to lay on my stomach. Something I don't do anymore since this situation happened. I was laying on my stomach, and I started to fall asleep. I was in that position of being not awake, but not asleep either, that cross area. And I felt a hand touch me in the back of my head, and I felt all five fingers, and it was a very gentle touch. It wasn't rough. It was gentle. And then the hand went down my back to my lower back. And I remember jumping up, spinning around, so I was laying on my back, and I looked around. Even though the apartment was dark, there was still some outside light coming in, and my eyes were already adjusted, being that I was laying in the dark. There was nobody there. At that point, I was able to go back to sleep, because I just wrote it off as maybe a dream I was having right before I fell asleep and made me jump. However, a couple of nights later, again, I'm sleeping in the living room with all the lights out, laying on my stomach, and that's when it elevated. I felt an ice-cold hand grab me by my ankle and pull me violently off the sofa. So much of fact, my knees hit the floor. I remember scurrying back up onto the sofa and spinning around on my back and looking around the house, and once again, there was nobody there. It got to the point I got up, turned on all the lights, checked the whole apartment thoroughly. When I found nothing, I ran into my mother's room, woke her up, and notified her what happened. But at that point, I slept on her floor in the bedroom for the next few nights. Afterwards, I had to wake up in my house. I started walking around. I started praying. Started throwing away a lot of stuff that I seemed suspect, whether it was statues or anything that I find might have had some kind of connection involved. Started throwing them all out, a lot of my horror movies. And at the end of the day, after I finished praying, I started feeling that there was a lightness in the apartment. And that thing never returned. Thank you for listening to my story. I just wanted to share it one more time, hopefully to people who would understand what I went through and believe it. Okay. Thank you once again. See you all later.
So he never found out which piece it was that the thing was attached to.
That's a real shitty part.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where when you're doing... I was thinking of this the other day, and you may not want to hear this, but as we're redoing some of the stuff in our basement, and we're picking up some odds and ends at, like, you know, thrift stores and things of that nature. What if one of them's haunted?
I already thought of that.
How do you narrow it down, though? Because we're getting, like, you know, several things at once, some, like, little decor things in here and there. You know, how do you know which one it is?
I already thought of that.
And?
The thing that makes me feel better is to know how sensitive I am. And if I'm not getting a creepy vibe around it or when I'm touching it, then I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Sure. Because we watch a lot of, like, HGTV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a show, for example, if you watch it, Fixer Upper.
That's my favorite show.
They do a lot of home remodels, and there's a lot of reclaimed items that are from an antique store or part of a structure or this or that, and it all goes into the new house. And there's so many pieces all at one place in time. That's got to be difficult. If suddenly you have a place that wasn't haunted that becomes haunted, narrowing this down, what piece is it? Without, like, oh, remove this piece this week and see if it's still going. You know, it would be nearly impossible.
But see, I think that's one of the good things about being sensitive, because there's a lot of things that are crap about being sensitive.
Sure.
I think one of the good things is you can kind of just know. You're like, I don't like this or I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not have a reason why, but you just have a negative feeling towards it. Maybe that's, you just don't bring anything into your home that you feel that way about.
Sure. But there's a lot of folks who aren't so sensitive.
I know. And I feel bad for them.
And they just reap the rewards.
I know.
Of the fun demonic antique hunt. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Maggie, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I actually just moved here. And so I'm loving all the stories about Wisconsin and getting to know the state a little bit better through you guys. This is actually the first supernatural encounter that I ever had. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had these two young girls who would babysit me all the time because my parents worked a lot. And when they couldn't babysit me, their grandmother would come and stay with me. And so I got to know her very, very well. And she and I were super close, and she would bring me, you know, cheese danishes all the time. And all sorts of cute little pastries, and we would spend so much time together. And she was just this incredible, incredible woman. She was a World War II nurse, and she just had this amazing, amazing life. And so anyways, because I was so close to her, I called her Grammy Betty, and we were basically inseparable. I loved this woman to pieces. And I remember my mom telling me one day that Grammy Betty wouldn't be coming by anymore. And I didn't really understand why, but I was like 4 or 5, so I just kind of said, oh, okay, and moved on. And then one night, I was in my bed, and I was reading a book or something like that before bed. I was probably flipping through it. I don't know how literate I was at that age, but I had a book, I remember that. And I looked up, and Grammy Betty was standing at the foot of my bed, and she was smiling at me. And she grinned, and she walked away towards the far wall, and then she kind of just turned back one last time, smiled, and then walked out the window. And I remember exactly what she looked like to this day, which is kind of crazy, but I remember she was wearing a white hospital gown with pink polka dots for some reason. And my mom came up to say goodnight and tucked me in one last time. And I said, oh, I just saw Granny Betty. And my mom said, what do you mean you saw Granny Betty? And so that's when she explained to me that Granny Betty had passed away the week before in a hospital. I don't remember exactly what she died from, but I saw the next week the two girls who babysat me. They came over to the house, and they brought some pictures with them of Granny Betty towards the end of her life. And it turns out that in the picture, sure enough, she was wearing a white hospital gown with pink polka dots. And, yeah, so that's why I, to this day, still think that she is my guardian angel. And, yeah, since then, I've had many more interesting supernatural experiences, but this one is very near and dear to my heart, and so I figured that I would share it. I just became an EPP, and I can't wait to hear all the extra fun ghost stories that you have on your website. So thank you so much for having such a great show, and I'll talk to you maybe in the future. Okay, bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story. And even though I'm not there, welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
the land of cheese. It's a great place. You'll have some fun there. 85. Guardian angel or just saying goodbye? What do you think?
I think maybe just saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Grammy Betty still watches over her, but I think it was more of a goodbye visit.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. We get that a lot, where there's a lot of folks who encounter a situation where a loved one dies and they may not understand why, you know, the person died because they're too young, like in that case, or unaware of it, but they still want some sort of closure. Or they may not even know that they want the closure, but the dead person does, and they want to find a way to give that to that individual because they cared about them. So, yeah, I think that really makes a lot of sense. Really neat, neat experience. Mm-hmm. And to get the verification just with the polka dot dress, it's not just, maybe I was a kid, maybe I was seeing shit. No, it like actually all lines up and works out pretty well.
Right.
There's being some amount of confirmation there. So thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. You will certainly enjoy the EPP episodes. There's a lot of good ones on there. The episode where we had the story of the kid that was in the bathroom, that's an EPP episode, right?
It is.
What one was that? Do you recall off the top of your head? It was like, there was like near 50. What was it, 49?
I think it was 49.
Because we did it and we're like,
oh shit, we should have saved it for 50.
That should have been 50.
Yeah.
But either way, you know, when you go back and you listen to the episodes, you don't care what number it is. You just care about a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that, that's right up there. I think about that story a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it's like when I think about the show, when people ask me like, oh, what's a good story? What's, you know, this or that? That one, that's the test to me. You know, when you read the story or you hear the story, it's easy to say, well, that was really good. And there's been a lot of those that I go, well, that was really good. And then I kind of forget about them.
Yeah.
If like a week later, I can still recall the story pretty well, that was a good story.
Yeah, because I can tell you something and an hour later you won't know what I said.
Exactly.
So for a week plus for you to remember something, it stuck with you.
It is. I have horrible short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till I'm like in, I don't know, 70s. Even before that, and this is not an insult to anyone of age by any means. This is just me.
Yeah.
I'm this bad in my 30s. I don't even want to know what I'm like in my 50s or my 60s. 70s, I won't even know who I am at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good times. Let's get another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. I've enjoyed it every week. But my brother, Alex, from Rhode Island, has called and emailed a couple times, and you guys put out his stories. He had one about the house up in Northern Rhode Island that was the basis for I'm sorry, lost the film name. But anyway, I just want to share a quick ghost story. This took place when I was just a little toddler. So this is kind of secondhand for my father. But he loved to explore the historic graveyards that we have out here. He liked checking out some of the historic names and seeing, you know, the family lots and kind of get a picture of how things were in certain periods. But anyway, one day my dad took me, like, once again as a little toddler, to one of the historic graveyards in my hometown of West Greenwich. Not the Nellie Fawn site, but another one. And anyway, he was carrying me around on his shoulders because I was young enough that walking with a toddler was, you know, a little bit of a chore. So he had me up on his shoulders, and we were walking around a church that was adjacent to this old graveyard. And all of a sudden, I said to my dad, "Where'd that lady go?" And my dad stopped and said, "What lady?" And I said, "The lady in the white dress. She was standing over there," and I pointed towards the front of the church. And my dad had not seen anyone. And, you know, his car was the only car on the lot. There was a light dusting of snow, only his boot tracks. So he walked all the church and the graveyard and couldn't find any other tracks or any other lady. And, you know, I just thought that was really interesting. People say that kids are more sensitive than adults sometimes. And I've now got kids of my own. And so a couple times they've told me some pretty freaky things that just kind of sit there and look there. Wow, is this real or is this imagination? You know, and so anyway, just wanted to share that. Again, I love your show and keep it up. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story and your experience. And you're right. There's a lot of people that do believe that children, animals as well, are very, very sensitive to the paranormal. So I think that could very well be the case in your story there. Thank you for sharing. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call in to Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. If you like the show, we ask you to please support it. We are mainly a listener-supported show. You can support the show by becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. You go to Real Ghost Stories Online, click Become an EPP. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year. It's completely up to you, whatever you want to do. And then you get access to all of our bonus material, those EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, access to the archive, EPP episodes, and archive regular episode shows now, too, because we have so many darn episodes that they're falling off of iTunes. So you can get right back to the beginning of our show, too. Some really interesting stuff in there, exclusive interviews with folks involved with the Amityville Horror, The Conjuring, and more. So really, really good material if you love ghosts. This is certainly the show for you. Check it out. Keep our show on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I am Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.